from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
2-2. De La Cruz on a line to right. Gavin Sheets lays out. He made the catch.
If the Sox hang on to win, remember that one, because it could turn out to be a game saver. De La Cruz can't believe it. It's a sinking line drive. He had double in his mind when he left the batter's box. Gavin Sheets had other ideas. Moving to his right, he dives at the very end, takes it right off the grass. What a play that is.
Tremendous play by Gavin Sheets yesterday. That and the Andrew Vaughn homer, the highlights of a game that was lost in the ninth inning. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run. And look at this. Even though he's got the weekend off from covering the White Sox for CHGO, he's not afraid to join me on the radio. And that is just exemplary behavior from Vinny Duber, who joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Vinny, how are you this morning?
Matt, I'm doing good. I did have the weekend off, but it doesn't mean I wasn't still locked in on the phone. I had to pull up the highlights even while I was getting ready to go see the Dead last night. So
how were the Dead? You were at Dead & Company at Wrigley. So we'll talk White Sox in a moment, but I haven't seen them since I saw them with Trey on like the 50th anniversary thing at Soldier Field.
Yeah, it was a great show. This was my first in-person experience with this, so I didn't 100% know what to expect. Obviously, heard plenty of concerts sitting on the headphones, but yeah, it was a very good time. Obviously, as everybody knows, John Mayer can play the heck out of a guitar, so it was fantastic and really something to experience.
That's sure. Awesome. That's awesome. Did you see Liam Hendricks there?
I did not see Liam Hendricks there. No.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think he was there. I was just wondering. I was just curious.
I don't think so either, yeah.
Okay. Liam Hendricks, unfortunately, to the injured list with right elbow inflammation. That is worrisome. Was there any indication that he was feeling anything in that elbow, to your knowledge? I mean, I know they've been, like, building up, trying to get him ready for back-to-backs, and eventually this has now happened, and it's troubling. Did you see this coming at all? Is the question that I could have asked much shorter.
No, not really. I mean, I think, as you mentioned here, it has been kind of a progression for him to obviously just get back from after undergoing the cancer treatment and the return from that, which, of course, has been so exciting to see. But at the same time, he has been trying to work to get to himself, to feel more like himself. We saw the first time out, he wasn't having the same sort of velocity that we're used to seeing from him. Obviously, there were hits and runs against him, which is something that he doesn't do terribly often or hasn't in past years. So, but it was getting to that point where he said he was feeling more like himself, where his teammates were noticing that, hey, that looks like the guy we've known and we've watched pitch for the last few seasons. The velocity numbers were going up. There were some more dominant outings. There were some more 1-2-3 outings. And so I think everybody expected, hey, that's it. He's back. He's ready to kind of resume that closer job that he has done so well. And now all of a sudden we've got this IL trip for him that we now have to find out some more about. So, you know, I won't guess at what's going wrong until we've got some more information from either Liam or the team. But like you said, troubling for the bullpen. Certainly, it's been a strength of this team for the last month and a half at this point. So there are definitely guys that can help kind of weather the storm while he's out. But it's just kind of curious, and we're all curious to figure out exactly kind of what's bothering him and how long it might be stay on the IL for him.
Yeah, it's been the best story maybe in all of baseball, Liam Hendricks' return, and certainly the most heartwarming story in Chicago baseball. Kendall Graveman can handle the ninth. He's done it in the past, and he has done it well. And then after that, would you go Joe Kelly or would you go Reynaldo Lopez if you had to?
I mean, I guess Reynaldo is the hotter arm right now just because he's been very, very good really since he had that terrible month of April. And, of course, terrible month of April applies to so many White Sox players and bullpen pitchers altogether. So, I mean, you, at the end of the day, you maybe want to throw that out when trying to answer a question like the one you just made. So Lopez is the hotter arm, but Kelly is the veteran. He's done it before. He's got probably the best stuff on the bullpen, if you ask a lot of different folks, but obviously it's hard to sit there and convince Sox fans of that after the day he had yesterday. So I think that Kelly will still very much be in the mix, in the late inning mix. I don't think you're going to see a demotion or anything like that. That doesn't really seem like Pedro Grifol's style. So I think he's going to throw a lot of those guys at the late innings. And also, too, a guy that Pedro keeps bringing up and deserves to keep being brought up is Keenan Middleton, who has had a very nice season. And he's definitely part of that late inning mix for Pedro as well.
It's crazy, man. Like, everybody's been good there of late. Every single guy. And Santos throws a 102-mile-an-hour sinker. I mean, what the hell? So... it's amazing how good it's been in the bullpen. What's your overall vibe on this thing? I tweeted surging White Sox with two question marks because it is a surge, but does it feel like one? Are they playing better overall?
I mean, if it's relative to what we saw in that first month of the season, then obviously they're playing better. I think they are playing better in certain facets, and I think the pitching has really been fantastic for the most part for quite a while now, be it the starters or the bullpen. The bullpen is certainly kind of jumping out because, like you just said, so many of those guys have been so dominant lately, just not really allowing anything. But the starting pitching has been good too, and I think when you look at the bullpen success, you have to give some credit to the starting rotation for getting deeper into games than they were getting in that first month of the season. So I think the rotation's been good. The bullpen's been great, but this offense, my goodness, has not. And I think you saw it yesterday where, the margin for error was so slim. They had one run. It was a 1-0 lead there in the ninth inning and one bad defensive play and one bad outing by a relief pitcher really just flips the whole thing on its head because they didn't do any more damage offensively. And that was really the story it's been the story for a while now. Their offensive numbers in June are not good. You saw in the first half of that doubleheader the other day in New York, what could be, right? Four home runs, guys, they're putting crooked numbers up on the board. And they win a game in clutch, exciting fashion with Aloy's late home run in game one. But then game two comes along and they get like two hits. So it is certainly something that has been, looking like could drag them back down, or I should say maybe keep them from vaulting up in a division like this, is that offense and the complete lack of consistency, or if there has been consistency, it's been in lack of production. So the overall vibe is that, hey, they're still in it, and they know that, and they see the opportunity that's ahead of them because of what the division has been unable to do around them. And so, people keep, it was only a week or so ago that Rick Hahn got up there and we were talking about what is this team going to do at the trade deadline. And so many fans were like, oh, they're going to sell. Have you watched them play? Of course. But, they're only a handful of games out of first place, and you can't really say that they're going to be quote unquote out of it anytime soon, because we have 2.5 months of baseball from the other four teams in this division showing that nobody really wants to pull away.
Yeah. White Sox offense in the last 30 days, 28th out of 30 in on base percentage, just not getting on and not creating a lot of opportunities. Do you still believe that there is a great ball player inside Yoan Moncada? Like, do you still believe it's there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's there. It's just a matter of, is this guy ever going to be all the way healthy? And, you know, I think you could say that obviously for so many of the core guys over the last few years. But what Moncada's story has been has not necessarily been those months-long absences like you've seen from Eloy Jimenez or, you know, the multiple IL trips that you saw from Luis Robert Jr. Even Tim Anderson has had those long stretches of being on the IL. Moncada hasn't had quite as many of those. He's played through being hurt or banged up or whatever you want to call it, dating all the way back to 2020 when he was dealing with the after effects of that COVID infection. 2021, I remember, you know, he sat in Houston and told us, yeah, I'm not healthy, but I need to play right now because Eloy is out, Luis is out, you know, there all those injuries that were piling up in the 2021 season, and he played through it. You know, I think he probably is doing it again. He missed some significant time at the beginning of the season, and you see him still maybe kind of dealing with a nagging back thing here or there. You know, you'll see him kind of run down the line and kind of hobble a little bit every once in a while, but then go right back out and play third base. So I think this is a guy who's probably, you know, you can tell the story of what has now been three or four seasons of this guy just kind of trying to play through and grind through the baseball stuff that keeps piling on for him. And you kind of, I think if you're the White Sox, you just kind of have to kind of take, you know, what he can give you when they, when he can give it to you. Obviously he's a very good defender over at third base. But when it comes to the offensive production, obviously not living up to the hype that White Sox fans had for him, but you can commend the guy for going out there, I guess, because those words from 2021 echo all the way through to today. The team does need him to be out there.
Vinny Duber on Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, on 670 The Score. All right, you know, I started doing this last year, and then it kind of dropped off, and I should bring it back, and you're the right guy to bring it back with today because you're on the phone with me right now. Your baseball bona fides. I need your baseball bona fides. I have three questions for you, okay? Here's number one. Who is one of your most favorite players in the game, past or present, and why?
In terms of being a fan or whatever, or what would you say?
Yeah, no, just being a fan. Just like, give me, who's one of your favorite players in the game, from the past or the present? It's up to you, and why.
Yeah, sure. When I was a kid, my favorite player was Nomar Garciaparra. I think I dug that he wasn't Derek Jeter or wasn't A-Rod and was kind of, you know, for being as good as he was maybe kind of the less heralded of that big group of shortstops back then. Mm-hmm. Got to go to Fenway Park when I was, I think, 10 years old. And I, you know, on a family vacation, and we got to see him play there. And it was really cool. And I remember, you know, the day he was traded to the Cubs, you know, having your favorite player come to your hometown. Just a really cool moment that I'll always remember for sure.
That's really cool. What's the best game you ever had a chance to see in person? This could be as a fan, like your best fan experience, best game. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here. Or if it is one that you covered, that's fine too. Best game you had a chance to see in person.
Yeah, I think I'll just go back a couple of years ago and I'll go to the Field of Dreams game. Just because, it was a very unique setting. Obviously, this weird thing that they had never done before. I loved how wacky it was that they put this field in the middle of Iowa. But the game had to go the way that it went in order to be as memorable as it was. And so for all the home runs that were hit, for the back and forth nature of it, to the way that Tim ended that game, it was just such a one in a million thing to cover. This weird game out here, they're probably going to do it again, it'll become this spectacle, sure, whatever. But then you saw the next year, or the next time they did it with the Cubs, you know, how it was not that exciting game, and it had no kind of the same punch to it. And to be able to be there for everything coming together to make it so, you know, so unique from the setting to the game was really cool.
That's a great answer. That was pretty magical. And I was at the Cubs one and had an incredible, you know, incredibly memorable experience. But that first one was like, is this even going to work? And the craziness of trying to get there, the fact that you were there is awesome and something very special. All right, cool. And then one thing you would change, Vinny, if you were the commissioner, I've made you the commissioner. What do you want to change?
I hate that extra inning runner on second base rule.
You do?
I hate it. I hate it. Oh. I understand. I understand because here's the thing. Love the pitch clock. I'm loving this pitch clock thing. It's transformative. It's amazing. And it gets everybody home at a reasonable hour. And I get that the runner on second base rule is meant to do somewhat of the same thing. But man, it's just nothing. A pitcher can throw just do his job to perfection and the game is lost. So I don't like that at all. I think that you got to make these guys at least work a little bit to get that run across.
Oh, I completely and utterly disagree with you. I actually really like it. I straight up like it. It is forced strategy. It is forced drama. And you know now that if a game is in the 10th, you should tune in because you get immediate action in strategy. And there's all different things that happen. And it's like a dependable forced action. So you're wrong. Your opinion is wrong, sir.
I see that what you're saying, but I see it almost as kind of anticlimactic. Because sometimes it's just so easy. It's like you say, oh, you're going to turn on the 10th and you're going to see something happen. You're going to see the game on the line. Well, you could see a ground out to the right side and a sacrifice fly. Boom, game over.
Yeah.
I mean, is that excitement?
Hey, that's
highlight worthy?
That's just good situational awareness by those two guys. Okay? What you describe. Thank you, Vinny. Have a great day. You going to the show again tonight?
No, they only had the two.
Oh, that's
so
right.
I didn't go on Friday, but I went last night. So they're out of town. No more John Mayer and the Dead for Chicago.
Okay. Well, it shows you how plugged in I am. Thank you, Vinny. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one, Matt.
You too, man. That's Vinny Duber from CHGO. Your phone calls continuing on here on Hit and Run. Chris Kampka at the end of the hour. And hear from Nico Horner in a moment on a computer system coming to a ballpark near you soon, I think. It's The Score and Hit and Run.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
So, Nico, this is all about shooting.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The ball and out the other way.
First pitch. Ground ball, base hit up the middle. One run is in. Half around third. He will score. Two-run single, Nico Horner. Cubs lead 2-1.
That on Friday night, Nico Horner with the day off that apparently he was not that happy about in the Bay Area where he is from. Probably a bunch of friends and family in attendance, so not in the starting lineup, but gets a chance to pinch hit with the bases loaded. Delivers that two-run single. Had another hit after that, so two hits on a night that you were supposed to be off. That's pretty good. That'll work. Nico Horner, a regular contributor on Tuesdays to the Parkins and Spiegel Show, was terrific this week, talking about the computerized strike zone possibility, the automatic balls and strikes system that could be coming. And it's a conversation that began with him talking about the box that you see on your television that tells you if a ball was a strike or not. Or does it tell you that?
We basically have the technology. Every broadcast has it. There's talk that it's coming.
How would you?
Those broadcasts don't stink, by the way.
Tell him, Nico. Okay. Tell everybody.
So go. Come on. Let's hear it. And where do you think this is going with automated balls and strikes or a challenge system or whatever?
Two parts to this. So like fans and everyone watching the game on TV, like they take the broadcast strike zone as literal. But there's times they just like forget to adjust it for the height of the batter. Like if you actually pay attention, there's times when it's like below my belt and times when it's way above my belt. Like it is generally right, especially inside outside, but the height of it is wrong all the time. And like there's been times where I've taken pitches that on TV look like they're two balls up, but they're actually strikes. And guys are like, my mom would be like, that pitch is way high or whatever. It's like, that was actually a strike. But it goes the other way too. Like sometimes the bottom of the zone is just in the wrong place and it makes it look really bad. But I was like, trust me, that was actually a ball. Like,
yeah.
You hear about this from your mom?
That's amazing.
Or girlfriend or whatever it is, like they got my back for sure.
That's amazing.
So, that is great. But
the second part of the conversation though, right? So on Marquee or NBC Sports Chicago or wherever we're watching the game,
don't trust the box.
Don't always trust the box. Heard. But they're talking about this, man. Like
it's everywhere. It's at AAA. All 30 stadiums at AAA have the automated ball strike system where they use Hawkeye, and so it's probably coming at some point.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not so concerned about it as far as it like benefiting the hitter or the pitcher or things like that. It's more just like how it impacts the catching position. I think that like framing is one of like the most skilled and like fun to watch things in baseball. Like there's just something that it looks so good when a catcher really sticks a pitch in a location it's supposed to be, or a guy who can like be set up in and the pitch is away and they still present it in a way that, you know, earns them a strike. Like, it's such a challenging thing, and it makes the game look so good too. And if that's a skill that's no longer required, like imagine just a catcher setting up down the middle and the pitch is down in the way and they just kind of sweep at it and it doesn't matter what they do. Like that's just kind of ugly to me. And I just like visually baseball is, I think the catching position impacts the game so much. Just makes the pitcher feel good when you stick a ball well, it just looks right. And I think just being able to throw a catcher back there that doesn't have any framing skills, but just, you know, has a strong arm and probably hits for power. Like I don't really like that mold as much, but I mean, all change in baseball is met with resistance at first, and then you often get used to it. But that's one that would be pretty hard for me to get used to, I think.
I think this ABS system, this automated system, it kind of finds the middle ground. Like there's still a human ump. There's still a human ump. Each team gets three challenges at the beginning of a game. And if you challenge a ball strike call and you get it right, you still have three challenges. If you get it wrong. So to me, that does, because I agree, like the aesthetics could matter. I think that ABS system that they're trying out could work, because we ought to be able to review if there's a pitch that's just dead wrong at a given moment.
Sure. Yeah. As long as, you know, it's done in a somewhat efficient manner and it's not just going to become a constant stop and go. But like you said, if there's a certain amount, and I wasn't even aware of the rules that are being practiced in the minor leagues right now, but that makes
Theo's,
a lot of sense.
Theo's on the case, Nico. Theo's on it. Don't worry.
Yeah. Go Theo, go. I mean, when there's, you know, there's the human part of the game I don't want to lose, but when there's, you know, just blatant misses, especially in moments in the game that really change things, then, you know, you obviously want to get that right. And these umpires aren't trying to screw anybody. They make mistakes just like we do. And, you know, I think that'll be a good thing.
So that's Nico Horner talking this week about the automated balls and strike system. So in those minor league ballparks that I mentioned, 4 days a week, they have the challenge system. 3 days a week, they have full automation on balls and strike. There's still a home plate umpire there, but it's just they're calling them that way. So that's the data that's being gathered here. And in speaking to my nephew, the voice of the Indianapolis Indians at AAA, who does games down there, he thinks the challenge system is far and away the better way to do it. That experientially so far, it's just been far and away that the automated one, he had it third. He gave me the order. He said the challenge system first, no system at all second, automated in full third, experientially from his perspective. So there is that. Last night, Kyle Hendricks was brilliant and almost historic. Here's what it sounded like on Fox TV.
Kyle Hendricks, coming back from a shoulder injury that kept him out for 11 months, makes his fourth start of the season. Hits this one hard and deep, right center field. Long run for Tuchman. He dives and makes the catch! Robbery of extra bases of Crawford by the former Giant Tuchman. Hang a star on this one. A fabulous defensive play. There's a strikeout. It's the first strikeout of the day for Kyle Hendricks. He gets Yastrzemski. Often with two strikes. Haniger reaches out, pokes it to left. Happ is there, and it is five excellent innings. 14 Giants in a row sent down.
We just need to play a little better.
Hendricks tried and got the bottom of the zone for strike three. Went to a lot of changeups in that at bat, too. Peterson hits it to second on one bounce. Nice play by Nico Horner. Two up and two down in the seventh. Off the plate, Hendricks off the mound. Plants and throws. It is seven innings of hitless baseball. On the ground to second. Vacuumed up by Horner for out number one. First pitch, Yastrzemski. Horner is there on the backhand. Two down in the eighth inning.
A perfect game, that's different because you don't want to boot the ball.
Right.
But infielders and outfielders, free and easy right now.
Haniger drills one deep left center field. Back towards the wall, and it's off the fence. Giants finally break through. It's Haniger with a two-out eighth inning double to break up the Hendricks no-hit bid. The longest no-hit bid in baseball this year, finished off by Haniger in the eighth. A lot of applause from the Cubs dugout for Hendricks, and tension is released. Here's Sable, first pitch swinging into left. Happ started back, comes in. Hendricks with eight shutout frames.
Could not quite get it finished with a no-hitter, but eight dominant shutout innings, allowing just one hit for Kyle Hendricks. The big story, he called his own pitches using the PitchCom device. It was there on his hip, and this was so he could maintain rhythm and pace and control. Last time out, three pitch clock violations based on PitchCom malfunctioning, and also sometimes shaking off his catcher. And you don't really have time to do that. There are other pitchers in baseball this year for the very first time calling their own pitches and just dictating it. Max Scherzer is one. Not great results sometimes for Max. Shohei Ohtani is another. Not great results sometimes for Ohtani. But there, Kyle Hendricks taking control, calling his own pitches. Goodness. Dominance. And expected to continue. Because the stuff has been good, and now he's got the other things under control. That catch from Mike Tuchman would have gone down as an all-timer if it helped preserve a no-hitter in the long run, as would a catch by Ian Happ if he had actually tried to make the catch instead of playing it off the wall for a double in the eighth inning of a no-hitter. But, you know, who am I? Who am I? I've never played big league outfield. I just know that I would have, you know, gone for the ball myself with a four-run lead in the eighth inning of a no-hitter. But, you know, who the hell am I? Anyway, here's Mike Tuchman talking about the great catch that he made.
I mean, you know, you go hard for something. And, you know, sometimes you know you got a shot at it. Sometimes you're not so sure. And but that's why you go hard after everything. And, you know, I'm not sure if the wind or the, how it was spun or something kind of seemed to maybe knock it down a little bit at the end. You know, off the bat, I didn't think I had a great shot at it, but, you know, that's why you go hard just in case. And, you know, fortunately, he was able to make a play for the boys. You know, Hendricks had the game pretty much under control, so just glad to help out a little bit.
Mike Tuchman on his great catch. Here's David Ross talking about the professor last night.
Yeah, I mean, that's his... That's pretty darn good. I've seen him really good He was so in control of all his pitches, looked like in and out. I think it was real conviction for the first time, him calling his own game, having the pitch calm. I think there was just a next level of conviction in every pitch with him in control of things. The rhythm was great. I thought he was on the edges. The changeup just got better, I thought, as the game went on. He didn't even break out the breaking ball really till late. Obviously, some good defensive behind him, and Tauchman's play was spectacular, one of the better plays I've seen in a long time. Just a really nice job. The young guys coming through, Merv giving us the lead, and Mo with the two-run lead, the two-run homer, and then the big two-out knock up the middle. Just put it together, and Kyle was on cruise control.
Kyle was absolutely terrific, and that bodes well for the rotation moving forward if he's going to be this version of himself. Goodness. Switching sides of town, Liam Hendricks onto the injured list today with elbow inflammation is not good news for the White Sox. And yesterday you saw, after Liam pitched on Friday, he was not available yesterday, and that's part of why Joe Kelly got the ninth, and it was, of course, a disaster. Rick Hahn has said today that Liam Hendricks' injury initially presents as similar to his flexor strain last season. He's going to get an MRI, and it's too soon to label it as such in terms of being similar to the flexor strain last year. But last year, Hendricks missed less than a month with that injury, and the Sox hope that he can return similarly this year. That from James Fegan on Twitter. So, dreaming and wishing and a hoping of a short injury list stint for Liam Hendricks. And boy, wouldn't that be good. Let's squeeze in Mike in Mendota before we take a break and get Cam connected. Hello, Mike. Thanks for hanging on. How are you?
Hello, Matt. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Okay. In my opinion, it's the best baseball show on the radio. So I have a question for you from kind of an elevator perspective, philosophically. If you were a GM, would you be comfortable with the way the Cubs have built their roster in the last couple seasons, with an emphasis on defense, especially if now they've experienced in the past year and a half to 2 years kind of a mediocre bullpen and an average or below average offensive production? I'm a little irritated with this emphasis on defense when run production is such a premium in Major League Baseball.
Well, it's defense as paired with pitching, so consider it run prevention. Whether you like it or not, I think their philosophy needs to be correctly understood. They believe that they can get by without dominant, super expensive strikeout pitching if they have the right kind of pitching that throws to weak contact. And now without the shift, they've got a defense that is built for it, especially up the middle. So, and the run prevention has been, good overall. I guess my question is this. What should you pay for long term? The first time around when they built, they knew that they would have to pay a premium for pitching. That was the design, and Jed was there. Like they went and they drafted all those power hitters, right? And they tried to find position players and then eventually pay for pitching, which they did with Lester and they did with Lackey. And then they did with Darvish, and that blew up in their face. Paying for bullpen guys, be it with prospects like they did with Torres for Chapman and Soler for Wade Davis and stuff like that, can be its own kind of danger. So what are you going to leave left that you have to buy once you don't develop it yourself, I guess, is the question. And they thought, we'll go out and buy some power if they don't develop those guys. Now they're in a position where they'll have to go out and buy some power. So, I mean, maybe the way that I'm talking about it, and you're helping me think about the big picture goal, maybe that's part of why they won't pay for Marcus Stroman. Because they'll think to themselves, here's Kyle Hendricks at 16 mil for next year instead of Stroman at possibly 30, who can give us the weak contact and pitch to the defense, and we can develop somebody else like that. As far as the bullpen, they got real arrogant about what they thought they could do in terms of pitch lab and creating bullpen pieces. And that hasn't worked this year like it worked last year. And the way that they've scouted, you know, signing veterans on these short deals for the bullpen hasn't worked this year like it did last year. Although Merriweather looks pretty damn good right now. So that appears to be their one veteran signing hit, unless Fulmer levels off. But you could already argue that Fulmer's badness has been a problem. So I actually very much agree with that bullpen methodology, as opposed to paying big time for bullpen arms. I think that can hamstring your payroll. The question is power. The question is power bats. And now they have to go out and buy one, maybe a couple. But I do not share your frustration. I actually think it's I think it's a worthy perspective. We'll see if it works or not. So far, very much mixed results. Speaks with you here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Chris Kamka is next. Yes, that sound means it's time to get Cam connected with our guy Chris Kamka, the Sultan of Stat from NBC Sports Chicago. And I love it when we can close with him and he ties the room together like a nice area rug. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Chris, we've got the Cubs and the White Sox playing well under 500 baseball, but both alive and well in their stinky divisions. This is our world, and I, for one, accept it. How about you, sir?
It's better than them both being buried, like, 50 games behind, isn't it?
Yes, 100%. Absolutely. They're relevant still in June. I'll take it. It's the best we can to get right now, I guess, but still, I'll take it. What interests your statistical brain, your baseball soul this week, sir?
Well, let's start on the north side. I mean, all the talk is about Hendricks last night. It should be. He was fantastic. He had the 73rd fastest pitch in the game. Anyway.
Wow.
I'm going to talk about home runs, though.
Please.
The Cubs snapped their 5-game homerless drought, and Morel hit his 10th home run. So he did it in his 24th game this season. Wisdom hit his 10th home run in his 24th game this season. They are the only teammates in the majors to have two guys hit 10 home runs in their first 24 games played this year. The last teammates to do that were Jock Peterson and Cody Bellinger for the Dodgers in 2019.
Wow.
This is not a long list. Since 1901, it's only happened 6 times. And before that, you have Story and Arenado for the Rockies.
Huh.
94, Burks and Bichette for the Rockies. And then we're going all the way back to 1956, Baron Mantle for the Yankees. 1950, Ted Williams, Walt Dropo for the Red Sox. That's it. 6 times teammates have had 10 home runs in their first 24 games played in the season since 1901.
Wow, that's really interesting. So the feeling when one of your guys goes on a crazy power barrage at the start of the year or at the start of their season, Cubs got it twice so far this year, and that's how infrequent that is. A couple of really fun names on that list to the two in Colorado, and Ellis Burks gets a mention. That's my dude right there. I love me some Ellis Burks.
Yeah, Ellis Burks is a good player. He had like 350 home runs for his career. Very quiet, but very solid. Even had a nice year at the White Sox in 1993.
Yes, he did.
I think the reason why you may not realize this happened is that Wisdom's 10th home run came on April 29th. Morel didn't even hit his first until May 9th because he wasn't called up.
Yeah.
So it didn't happen together at the same time.
Right.
It happened, you know, didn't overlap at all.
Yeah, no, it's true. I'm sure Jock and Bellinger both up from opening day in 2019. Yep. So, no, that's good stuff. I like it. All right, go south for me. What you got on the south side, sir?
So Luis Robert is tied with Shohei Ohtani for the major league lead in an interesting category. That category is catcher's interference.
Huh.
They have both reached 5 times via catcher's interference. All 5 times for the White Sox have been Robert this year. All 5 times for the Angels have been Ohtani. And it sucks because they don't even get that, the added benefit of having that added to their on-base percentage. Doesn't count. So Robert's been cheated out of 13 points in his on-base percentage because he reaches on catcher's interference and doesn't get credit for it. It's just an odd thing. I watched all of them. I watched all five for Robert. I watched all five for Ohtani. And I have a theory as to why these guys are so good. Let me know if it makes sense to you.
All right, well, pause here for a second while I explain to anybody who needs to know. The catcher's interference is when the glove is extended too far forward and they make contact with the bat on the swing, and it could be on the swing on its way into the box or on the follow through, right? It's with either. Now, I just said that the catcher's at fault, but really what you're saying, I think these guys are setting up very far back in the box and waiting. Their contact point is pretty deep in the strike zone towards the catcher, I would guess. But go ahead with your theory, sir.
Yeah, and it definitely looks like it's more of a batter's thing than it is a catcher's thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last seven times a White Sox player has done this, it's been Robert.
Wow.
And like I said, all five times for both teams this year, it's been those two players. Just watching the way they swing, like they have such quick wrists that the catcher is used to a certain timing that the batter starts to swing, but these guys have such quick wrists that they can snap the wrists later than your average hitter and still get it into play. And I think the catchers are thrown off by that.
That's a great theory. I love that theory.
Because that's what it looks like watching it, because I watched all 10 of these earlier today just because I'm like, what is it? What's the ingredients here? That it looks like that to me. Plus, you're right. They are back in the box. They do have kind of longer swings in a way.
Yeah.
But their wrists are so quick that they can snap that off just a fraction of a second later than your average batter because they're just so skilled.
You've had the good fortune to be watching Luis Arraez, this incredible hitter who's over 400 as of right now and doing it in such a rare and wonderful way. And he sets up pretty far back and waits longer than just about anybody. There was a ball that basically looked like he took it out of Yasmani Grandal's glove yesterday.
Yeah, the way he swings, he chops at it. He has a lot of different types of swings. We've had the luxury of seeing two very rare things this weekend with the White Sox. First, on Friday, they beat the Marlins in a one-run game. Nobody does that.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, we saw Arraez strike out. And that doesn't happen. Only 12 times this full season.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Rod Carew tweeted about Luis Arraez over the weekend, or maybe it was Friday. That was really, really cool to see Rod Carew like tweeting in appreciation of Luis Arraez. Did you have a chart of some kind on Gwynn, on Tony Gwynn and Luis Arraez on one of the broadcasts, didn't you, Chris?
Yeah, so what happened was, entering yesterday's game, he had 88 hits and 11 strikeouts, which is an 8-to-1 hit to strikeout ratio. Now he struck out yesterday, and now it's a little bit under that.
Mm-hmm.
But the last time a guy has had at least 80 hits and an 8-to-1 hit to strikeout ratio, Tony Gwynn had the last five times that's happened.
Wow.
And so that, you know, that's 1999 was the last time anybody did it, and it was Gwynn. And then I think it was 99, 98, 96, 94, 95, 94, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Gwynn did it in 93, 92, 91. The comparisons are made between Arraez and Gwynn, and I mean, you know, there it is.
There it is. There it is right there. It's pretty cool. And Arraez with a chance to win the batting title in the American League 1 year. And in the National League, the next, which would be...
Nobody's done that. only two other guys have done it at all in both leagues. But there were years in between. DJ LeMahieu, Yankees and Rockies.
Wow.
And then way back, Ed Delahanty won the batting title for Washington in the American League. And a few years before that, I think it was Philadelphia with the National League. And then his career fell off a cliff.
Oh, I love that. That's a good factoid to add into the mindset. You know, the only guy to win MVP in both leagues, right? If this is still true, I think it is.
Well, Frank Robinson.
Yes.
Is he still it?
I think he's still it. I think he still is.
Might be true.
Cy Young, it used to be Gaylord Perry was the answer for a long time on Cy Young, but I think Randy Johnson changed that, and Roger Clemens changed that.
And I think Pedro, too, right?
Yeah.
Expos and Red Sox.
And Roy Halladay, too?
Halladay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Halladay, yeah. Blue Jays and Phillies, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that one's not true anymore. But that's pretty cool. So Arise would be the third guy, along with DJ LeMahieu and Ed Delahanty. Love it. Chris, you're the best. Thank you, buddy. Have a great day.
Yep, thanks for having me on.
You got it. It's Chris Kampka from NBC Sports Chicago. All right, that's been Hit and Run. I'm Matt Spiegel. What a pleasure this was. CBS Radio coming up next, and then Cubs pregame at 2:30. Zach Zaidman along with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer for the finale out there in San Francisco. We do not have a lineup just yet for that Cubs game, right? I haven't seen it. I'm refreshing. Oh, we do. Nope, that's the White Sox game.
No lineup. We still don't know who the Giants are throwing either.
Yeah, they don't know who the Giants are throwing either, but it'll be Hayden Wesneski for the Cubs. Thank you to my guest today, Vinny Duber from CHGO, the aforementioned Chris Kampka, and earlier we had Adam Amin from Fox Sports. Thank you to Sean Sears for doing a great job, as always, as the producer for Hit and Run. Parkins and Spiegel will be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and check out my podcast, The PBP, for all of your play-by-play baseball needs. Jason Benetti, the guest this week. And then next week, it'll be Dave Sims, the voice of the Seattle Mariners. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Thanks for listening.
A pop foul back here.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Chris Kampka is next. Yes, that sound means it's time to get Cam connected with our guy Chris Kampka, the Sultan of Stat from NBC Sports Chicago. And I love it when we can close with him and he ties the room together like a nice area rug. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Chris, we've got the Cubs and the White Sox playing well under 500 baseball, but both alive and well in their stinky divisions. This is our world, and I, for one, accept it. How about you, sir?
It's better than them both being buried like 50 games behind, isn't it?
Yes, 100%. Absolutely. They're relevant still in June. I'll take it. It's the best we can to get right now, I guess, but still, I'll take it. What interests your statistical brain, your baseball soul this week, sir?
Well, let's start on the north side. I mean, all the talk is about Hendricks last night. It should be. It was fantastic. he had the 73rd fastest pitch in the game. But anyway.
Wow.
I'm going to talk about home runs, though.
Please.
The Cubs snapped their 5-game homerless drought, and Morel hit his 10th home run. So he did it in his 24th game this season. Wisdom hit his 10th home run in his 24th game this season. They are the only teammates in the majors to have two guys hit 10 home runs in their first 24 games played this year. The last teammates to do that were Jock Peterson and Cody Bellinger for the Dodgers in 2019.
Wow.
This is not a long list. Since 1901, it's only happened 6 times. And before that, you have Story and Arenado for the Rockies.
Huh.
94, Burks and Bichette for the Rockies. And then we're going all the way back to 1956, Baron Mantle for the Yankees. 1950, Ted Williams, Walt Dropo for the Red Sox. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
6 times teammates have had 10 home runs in their first 24 games played in the season since 1901.
Wow, that's really interesting. So the feeling when one of your guys goes on a crazy power barrage at the start of the year or at the start of their season, Cubs got it twice so far this year, and that's how infrequent that is. A couple of really fun names on that list to the two in Colorado, and Ellis Burks gets a mention. That's my dude right there. I love me some Ellis Burks.
Yeah, Ellis Burks is a good player. He had like 350 home runs for his career. Very quiet, but very solid. Even had a nice year at the White Sox in 1993.
Yes, he did.
I think the reason why you may not realize this happened is that Wisdom's 10th home run came on April 29th. Morel didn't even hit his first until May 9th because he wasn't called up.
Yeah.
So it didn't happen together at the same time.
Right.
It happened, you know, didn't overlap at all.
Yeah, no, it's true. I'm sure Jock and Bellinger both up from opening day in 2019. Yep. So, no, that's good stuff. I like it. All right, go south for me. What you got on the south side, sir?
So Luis Robert is tied with Shohei Ohtani for the major league lead in an interesting category. That category is catcher's interference.
Huh.
They have both reached 5 times via catcher's interference. All 5 times for the White Sox have been Robert this year. All 5 times for the Angels have been Ohtani. And it sucks because they don't even get that the added benefit of having that added to their on-base percentage. It doesn't count. So Robert's been cheated out of 13 points in his on-base percentage because he reaches on catcher's interference and doesn't get credit for it. It's just an odd thing, and I watched all of them. I watched all 5 for Robert. I watched all 5 for Ohtani, and I have a theory as to why these guys are so good. Let me know if it makes sense to you.
All right, well, pause here for a second while I explain to anybody who needs to know. The catcher's interference is when the glove is extended too far forward and they make contact with the bat on the swing, and it could be on the swing on its way into the box or on the follow through, right? It's with either. Now, I just said that the catcher's at fault, but really what you're saying, I think these guys are setting up very far back in the box and waiting their contact point is pretty deep in the strike zone towards the catcher, I would guess. But go ahead with your theory, sir.
Yeah, and it definitely looks like it's more of a batter's thing than it is a catcher's thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last 7 times a White Sox player has done this, it's been Robert.
Wow.
And like I said, all 5 times for both teams this year, it's been those 2 players. Just watching the way they swing, like they have such quick wrists that the catcher is used to a certain timing that the batter starts to swing, but these guys have such quick wrists that they can snap the wrists later than your average hitter and still get it into play. And I think the catchers are thrown off by that.
That's a great theory. I love that theory.
Because that's what it looks like watching it, because I watched all 10 of these earlier today just because I'm like, what is it? What's the ingredients here? It looks like that to me. Plus, you're right. They are back in the box. They do have kind of longer swings in a way,
yeah.
But their wrists are so quick that they can snap that off just a fraction of a second later than your average batter because they're just so skilled.
You've had the good fortune to be watching Luis Arraez, this incredible hitter who's over 400 as of right now and doing it in such a rare and wonderful way. And he sets up pretty far back and waits longer than just about anybody. There was a ball that basically looked like he took it out of Yasmani Grandal's glove yesterday.
Yeah, the way he swings, he chops at it. He has a lot of different types of swings. We've had the luxury of seeing two very rare things this weekend with the White Sox. First, on Friday, they beat the Marlins in a one-run game. Nobody does that.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, we saw Arise strike out. And that doesn't happen. Only 12 times this full season.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Rod Carew tweeted about Luis Arise over the weekend, or maybe it was Friday. That was really, really cool to see Rod Carew like tweeting in appreciation of Luis Arise. Did you have a chart of some kind on Gwynn, on Tony Gwynn and Luis Arise on one of the broadcasts, didn't you, Chris?
Yeah, so what happened was, entering yesterday's game, he had 88 hits and 11 strikeouts, which is an 8-to-1 hit-to-strikeout ratio. Now, he struck out yesterday, and now it's a little bit under that.
Mm-hmm.
But the last time a guy has had at least 80 hits and an 8-to-1 hit-to-strikeout ratio, Tony Gwynn had the last five times that's happened.
Wow.
And so, that's 1999 was the last time anybody did it, and it was Gwynn, and then I think it was 99, 98, 96, 94, 95, 94, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Gwynn did it in 93, 92, 91. The comparisons are made between Arise and Gwynn, and I mean, you know, there it is.
There it is. There it is right there. That's pretty cool. And Arise with a chance to win the batting title in the American League 1 year and in the National League the next, which would be...
Nobody's done that. only two other guys have done it at all in both leagues, but there were years in between. DJ LeMahieu, Yankees and Rockies.
Wow.
And then way back, Ed Delahanty won the batting title for Washington in the American League, and a few years before that, I think it was Philadelphia with the National League. And then his career fell off a cliff.
Oh, I love that. That's a good factoid to add into the mindset. You know, the only guy to win MVP in both leagues, right? If this is still true, I think it is.
Well, Frank Robinson.
Yes.
Is he still it?
I think he's still it.
Yeah, that might be true.
Cy Young. It used to be Gaylord Perry was the answer for a long time on Cy Young, but I think Randy Johnson changed that. And Roger Clemens changed that.
And I think Pedro, too, right?
Yeah.
Expos and Red Sox.
And Roy Halladay. Roy Halladay, too?
Halladay.
Yeah.
Yes. Halladay, yeah. Blue Jays and Phillies. Yeah.
Yeah. So that one's not true anymore. But that's pretty cool. So Arise would be the third guy, along with DJ LeMahieu and Ed Delahanty. Love it. Chris,
You're
the best. Thank you, buddy. Have a great day.
Yep, thanks for having me on.
You got it. It's Chris Kampka from NBC Sports Chicago. All right, that's been Hit and Run. I'm Matt Spiegel. What a pleasure this was. CBS Radio coming up next, and then Cubs pregame at 2:30. Zach Zaidman along with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer for the finale out there in San Francisco. We do not have a lineup just yet for that Cubs game, right? I haven't seen it. I'm refreshing. Oh, we do. Nope, that's the White Sox game.
No lineup. We still don't know who the Giants are throwing either.
Yeah, they don't know who the Giants are throwing either, but it'll be Hayden Wesneski for the Cubs. Thank you to my guest today, Vinny Duber from CHGO, the aforementioned Chris Kampka, and earlier we had Adam Amin from Fox Sports. Thank you to Sean Sears for doing a great job, as always, as the producer for Hit and Run. Parkinson Spiegel will be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and check out my podcast, The PBP, for all of your play-by-play baseball needs. Jason Benetti, the guest this week. And then next week, it'll be Dave Sims, the voice of the Seattle Mariners. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Thanks for listening.
A pop foul back here.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Port Trek pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.